Welcome to Radio Tony Everyday Business. We're talking this week with Synct CEO Vanessa Thomas. Synct helps you get your business identity and connects you with your ideal customers. Synct offers intuitive, insightful brand workshops that help you make sense of marketing for sustainable business growth. Synct's mission is to help small businesses get in sync with their ideal customers through the power of design and creativity. Synct do this by breathing new life into your brand with beautifully designed, commercially driven visual solutions that attract your ideal customer for profitable business growth. Tune in each week.
Good evening, America, and good afternoon, Australia. You're back with Tony Lontis live on Radio Tony Everyday Business with Synct. Last week was our first show where I introduced you to the glorious Vanessa Thomas from Synct. And last week we explored Vanessa, her life, and the company's mission and values. And some of the key takeaways from last week were Vanessa and the team's dedication to tying you to your business and how important that is for businesses to recognize that you are inherently part of your business. Now, Vanessa is extraordinarily talented in the world of brand development and marketing. And this week, we're going to do some deep diving into what it is about your brand and also about the importance of connecting with your ideal customer. I'm going to talk about some psychology around that connection and some psychology around branding. So Synct is a little different from other brand agencies in that they first and foremost don't lose sight of the fact that your people and you are the people of your business. What defines Synct is that they are a unique group of creative talent, brand marketing strategists, and those combinations of industry skills and life experience with perspective and strategic creative vision create amazing solutions for the businesses that they work with. And so this week, I'd like to welcome back again, Vanessa Thomas. Hello, Vanessa.
Hello, Tony. Thank you for having me back and thank you for your listeners.
It's great to be back on the show again and be talking about something that is so important. So just briefly, why is business branding so important?
It's important because it helps to actually define who you are and who you want to attract fundamentally in the market. I briefly mentioned last week that, you know, try and make the customer the hero of your journey or the hero of your business, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that are going to resonate with you, buy from you, they're going to help business grow. So it's really important to make sure you've got all of your, I guess, ducks in a row and everything sort of geared up to really support your ideal customer.
And so it's not just about branding, it's the way that you present to the world, it's your social media and how you connect with your social media and how your branding plays out in that social media and how it connects you to your ideal customers. So I just want to touch base that last week we talked about clarity, focus, ideas, creativity, strategy, positioning, and commercial understanding as key brand ingredients. And that's what Synct helps businesses develop. And again, this week, we really want to delve into creating a brand that is targeted towards a business's ideal customer. So can you tell us about how you do that process, Vanessa?
Yeah, definitely. We have what we call, it's an ideal customer workshop where it's called the Avatar Workshop. And what that does, it actually gets to your customer's DNA. So very briefly, we mentioned last week that we talk about your brand's DNA, and that includes your values, your vision, mission, everything you just said. But then we couple that up with your customer's DNA. As I said, you know, they're the ones that are going to buy from you. So we will look at a number of different things in this workshop where, you know, we'll find out, you'll get your generic things like, are they male, female, the general age group, but where we find we get the power is we really deep dive and sort of put ourselves in our customers' shoes, really understand, you know, what keeps them up at night? What are their stresses? I can guarantee you, if anyone has sort of got a rough idea of who their target market was at the beginning of the year, with everything that's happened, I can guarantee you your ideal customers' pain points and their problems and the things that keep them up at night have changed. So we always look to, when we're doing this workshop, ask our clients to review it. It's a very fluid document, so it's a live document, because as you get to know your customers, you'll be able to fill in more information about what keeps them up at night, or what's their favourite, you know, television show. We try and find things and get to the heart of who they are, so that way you can then market to them where they live. So we did this with one of our clients the other day, that we found out that they loved, that they were a sports fanatic. So instead of sort of potentially marketing on all of your social media streams, you might actually find that they might be a golf fanatic. So, you know, is there a golf within a certain demographic? Is there a series of golf ranges that you might be able to promote in their local publication, or they might have an email distribution and you can put an ad in their sort of publication? This is where you can get really targeted on knowing, well, I know that my target market are going to play golf and they're going to be there on the weekend, and I can put a little ad in their publication. So you're getting the best out of your marketing spend, because you know who your customer is and where they're going to be.
So Vanessa, when you think about the ideal customer, and before we delve into your particular workshop, I really want to know how things have changed in 2020 from your particular expertise around branding and marketing. What things have changed for people, for customers, and for businesses?
Well, obviously, with a lot of the restrictions, I'm not familiar on all of the ins and outs of what your state's audience are experiencing. But I know in Australia, you know, we've got a lot of business owners who, you know, have had to close their doors, and they've then had to sort of, it's a buzzword, but they have to pivot their services. So it's sort of really going back down to realizing, okay, well, my target market are no longer, you know, they may not be flush with money, or they may not have the revenue that they used to have. So you need to sort of look at, okay, well, what service can you offer them that's going to alleviate a problem that they currently have? So could that be, we know that business owners are going more online. They're developing either e-commerce sites, or they're producing video content or courses. How can you support them in this current situation? So I know we've turned our workshops all online. There are a lot of business owners who have done the same, but it's really, you know, getting sort of their head into the situation that we're in now and what you can and can't do. So, and that's where it's quite tricky, because the landscape keeps changing. So it's sort of, you need to sort of be up to date with what's going on and where you can pivot and how you can support them.
So Vanessa, in thinking about that pivot, and yeah, I don't like the word pivot either, but I think it's kind of, I look at it more as being a reaction to the reality that lots of businesses are facing. So how hard has it been for some of those businesses that you work with to go from that face-to-face to being online, and how has Synced supported them in doing that?
Yeah, so a lot of it actually comes down to the psychology and sort of the mental state of people. So a lot of our clients have actually, what they found was the hardest part, especially in the initial stage, was going from being in a working environment, so having been in with a group of people, to being a home-based, you know, working out of your office. So what I actually produced for some of my clients, I actually produced a sort of a step-by-step, you know, things to do when you're at home under the working from home guide. So it wasn't as much helping them with the design, but it was about helping them with their mindset. So simple things, because I've been doing this for 10 years, you know, I've got myself set up as a home-based office. So it was simple things like, you know, get up, get changed, put your makeup on, you know, as if you're going to work. You need to change that mindset. So it was just sort of little things at first that we found that we were able to support them with the mindset of getting them through, okay, and just being that sort of sounding board for them. So that's what we felt at the beginning. And Now what we're also finding is that people know that they need to go on board and sort of either create a website or do something like that, but they're scared. So this is where being truly in sync with our clients, we're there, we reassure them, we're holding their hand. We've got this expertise. We know this and it's easy for us. But for a lot of our clients, this is the first time they're doing any of this type of stuff. So it's frightening for them. I mean, I remember, you know, years ago when I built my first website, I was like, oh, this is scary. You know, I remember how that felt. So it's sort of like, well, this is my skill set. This is what I can do standing on my head. But I know it's quite scary for them. They don't know where to go, what files they need to supply, how do they show up online. All of those things have become quite scary for them. So it's all about us truly understanding our clients' needs. So it's not about the design. We're finding it's more the support and helping them along the way at every point and reassuring them. So that's where we have really come to the foreground.
So it would seem strange that businesses may not, in fact, have a website, but if they come to you and they haven't got a website, I'm understanding that that is particularly part of your work. When you're designing a website, do you design with the customer in mind?
Yes. So it's like with a logo, I need to find that balance between making sure that my client has all the information that they need to tell to their target market. So it's all about their services and who they are and, you know, here's some testimonials. But at the end of the day, the sole purpose of your website is to actually make sure that the client, one, knows who you are and can buy from you and that you solve a problem for them. So whenever we sort of walk a client through the sort of the homepage structure, this is where we need to be customer-focused. It needs to be able to solve a problem for a client, for their customers, their clientele, have potentially a downloadable document that, you know, if someone else wants to find out more about them, they can. Then you've got your other pages where you can talk about yourself, your experience, all the services you can provide. But at that initial homepage, it has to be all about the customer. It needs to be, Why should I engage with you and why should I continue on this journey on the website? So it's a very balancing act,
So Vanessa, the other day when we spoke, we spoke about the psychology of colour. And I know that we were going to talk about that in terms of branding, but I've suddenly thought, can we talk about that in terms of your website, your logo and your branding? Because I was fascinated by the things that you told me that relate to psychology.
Yes. So in terms of, there's a colour theory psychology. So every colour has a specific meaning. Yes. So regardless of whether it's part of your logo or your website, it still has the same resonance. So I've got a bit of a list of just some of the colours that I'll explain now of what colour means.
Awesome.
So it'll be a really quick rundown. I won't go into too much depth, but what I'll also do is give you some examples of what each colour does, because you may or may not be aware of what message your branding is giving to the market. And there's some real deep-seated psychological instinctive things that colour actually has on our body that we may not be aware of. So I'll start, if that's okay. Yeah, I'll start very briefly with red. So red, some attributes are, it represents danger, alertness, excitement, passion and energy, and it could also induce hunger. So an example that I love to use for this particular one is that our fast food chains, there's a reason why they use red and what we call the warm colour, which is orange and yellow, that forms the warm colour palette. It's because it induces hunger. So it's no surprise that your big fast food chains have used colour psychology to encourage you to go to their establishment because it induces hunger. Red is also the first colour that your eyes see, and it also is no surprise that our stop signs and all of the warning and danger is red because our body instantly reacts to that colour, so we stop. So it's, you know, as I said, it's not just a colour to... There is a specific purpose. So orange is part of the warm colour palette, and that deals with the attributes of confidence, warmth, innovation, friendliness, success and bravery. Now, there was a real fantastic study made that orange, especially in the online world, if you've got anything that you want to sort of entice people to click now or buy now, orange has been proven to be the best colour to encourage that click through. So again, no surprise that we've got PayPal buttons that are orange. Amazon's branding is orange. They all want you to take that next step to buy now or click here. So that I found really interesting. Yellow means caution, energy, creativity, friendliness, intellect, and happiness. Now, a lot of yellow it's a bright, vibrant color. So your high vis colors. So because it's very easy to see, that's why they're that color. And it was really fascinating when I was doing the research. They said generally men don't like the color yellow because they think it's quite childish. And yellow is marketed to children as well. You've got a lot of these vibrant colors for children. But when I was doing the research, they said if you don't market a high-end product to males with the colour yellow. But then I was looking at Ferrari and Lamborghini, and they've got a bright yellow car as part of their suite of vehicles. So part of us are like,
yeah,
you can always break sort of that theory, but it's really interesting that, you know, that's yes. What, you know, they say not to do that, and, you know, two major brands have done it. So I'll just go on to green. Green meat represents life, growth, nature, money, health, and prosperity. So it's all about freshness as well. So just going back to the fast food chains, Subway is a different one that's changed their branding. They've gone with yellow to help you want to go to their establishment for food. But they've also introduced the green, which at a subconscious level, they're telling us they're a fresher brand because they've got the salads and it's fresh. So green can be used in that context. Blue usually stands for peace, stability, trust, tranquility, and integrity. So I'm not quite sure. I think it's black is in the Americans. They use that for their police officers. But with the Australian market, yes. Our police officers and our emergency services have a blue uniform. So It immediately the connotations of trust and reliability. So again,
okay.
It's not just done on a whim. These colours all have a meaning. Then we've got purple. Purple represents royalty, luxury, passion, wisdom, and extravagance. So I know that if I think about extravagance and I think about chocolate, my brain automatically goes to Cadbury because what they've done is they've owned the colour purple. They've really sort of captured that market. Especially now I hear when things are tough, there are usually two products that sell like hotcakes, and it's usually lipstick and chocolate. So I think Cadbury are doing a great job in this situation. Moving on, we've got pink. Pink is associated with romance, compassion, beauty, love, and femininity. And I really find the last one really interesting. Before the 50s, pink was not marketed to girls. Blue was marketed to girls because blue was delicate and it was gentle and it was calming, whereas pink is actually closer to red, and red is a little bit more aggressive, closer to war, closer to that sort of passion and excitement. And it was marketed to boys.
Right.
And an advertising agency decided to push a product to the market and they swapped the colours around. And now we have...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we have pink is for girls and blue is for boys. It's absolutely fascinating because that was not the original intention of the colour. So you will actually find a lot of boys, and it's a shame because they'll probably get shamed for it, but a lot of boys actually do like the colour pink. And again, it comes down to that instinctive reaction that, you know, pink actually is meant to be marketed to boys. So it's fascinating how culture can actually change that. Yeah. So that my mind got blown about that. Brown. It's fascinating. And as I said, I guess this is the power of marketing. This is the power of the media and advertising agencies that they've been able to change a fundamental.
Yes.
As I said, the psychology of colour has been changed, and now most people go, yep, pink is girls, blue is boys. It's fascinating. Sorry.
Yeah.
So just moving on, we've got brown. Sorry, Tony, did you say? Oh, sorry, yep, so brown.
No, I'm still...
So brown represents seriousness, earthiness, authenticity, reliability, and support. So, you know, a lot of that sort of nurturing quality to brown, and then within that there's sort of your creams fall under that. Black is associated with sophistication, power, mystery, formality, and authority. White is denoted by purity, cleanliness, godliness, and freshness as well. And then I've got two other colours because a lot of people, when I was doing this a few years ago, really wanted to know what the metallic colours had, what their
yes.
So I've got gold and silver here. So gold is about knowledge, wealth, success, prosperity, and value, being valuable. And then silver is about wealth, achievement, futuristic, wise, and organised. So these are just some of the attributes of the colours that make up, you know, the colour wheel. And then, of course, there's different shades within each of those. But at a very broad spectrum, these colours represent something. So with, for example, the Sync logo, I think I mentioned it last week, the red is passion and excitement, and the actual name is in a dark brown, which is about earthiness and stability and nurturing. So that is what pulls up my business. So when you're translating your colours onto your logo, onto your website, it's really good to know what each colour means and making sure you're showing up the correct way. And then there's always another train of thought that if you, like, for example, if your sector is well known for that colour, so for example, if you want to build trust very quickly, so your accountants or your lawyers, a lot of them will have that blue colour palette. So you can either keep in with the blue colour palette because a lot of the heavy lifting's done for you, or you can actually drastically change the logo so you can stand out within that sector. So it's sort of like there's two rules of thumb. So you might have to do a little bit more work to get people to come over to that sort of that trust factor, but it's a great way to have differentiation as well. So I love the theory of it all.
So Vanessa, if you were, so you're saying that blue is often associated with legal firms. So if they were a legal firm wanting to stand out, would that mean that they might consider a polar opposite colour like red or orange, which would be a dual, would give customers looking to them the security that's invoked by the blue and the dynamicness invoked by, say, orange?
Yes, most definitely. That's exactly right. So there was an example that I heard about many, many years ago, a company called Orange. Now, they were a telecommunication company, and in their sector, everyone was blue. So what they did was fascinating. They chose to... And this is how our eyes and our brain do some beautiful things. They pitched their business brand to the stakeholders by, if you look at a square, so for example, their logo was a square orange block of colour. And they said, if you look at the block of colour for a couple of minutes and then you look to a white wall and your eye will automatically flip the colour and it will turn blue. So they technically had a blue logo. Right? But it was only in that instance. But what they did was, so yes, they've got a blue logo, but actually it's orange, it stood out, and they had, you know, quite a lot of success. So it was really interesting the approach they went for. So they challenged the natural sort of psychology of colour and how it actually works up with your eye and your brain as well. So I love that story. It stuck with me for so many years now.
So that's what you're trying to achieve when you're looking at the branding and the target customers for business. And that brings us back to your avatar workshops. And I'm really keen to know what sort of things you do in your avatar workshops. And for those people who are unfamiliar with avatar, other than the movie, an avatar is your ideal customer. And if you're in business and don't know who your ideal customer is, who are you selling to?
That's exactly right. So you're completely right. I mean, we also use what's called DISC profiling. So it's, again, you normally use sort of DISC profiling or Myers-Briggs for personality traits. And we find that this actually is, we're not DISC practitioners, but we use the principles of the DISC. So there are sort of, we use DISC because it's fairly simple. It's, you know, dominant, influencer. I'm not quite sure what the S stands for, but it's more about the nurturing. And then we've got a compliance person who's more technical. So each personality type, and you need to know who your customer is and what their personality type is, because you'll then need to design accordingly for that, because each personality has its own way that it likes to be communicated to, and it likes to be, you know, one might like a video versus one might like a lots of information. You need to know that. So when we're going through our workshops, we try and unpack that component as well as all of the pain points of your ideal customer. I'll just give a quick example of, I'll give one of my ideal customers and how powerful it is. I used to do a lot of work before I started my business. I worked at the City of Melbourne as one of their internal designers. So I got to see firsthand what it was like to work within a council setup. You know, there was designers, there was account managers, there was the management level, then there was various departments. The process to get things approved was quite cumbersome. I got some really great insights working in that council, that when I started my business, you need to tender to get onto a preferred supplier for a council. And as part of the tender document, I mentioned, oh, you know, we've got a lot of understanding, we know your world and all that sort of stuff. We got shortlisted for one of the councils, and they said to us, you mentioned that you know us, or, you know, you understand what's happening in our world. Can you elaborate on that? And I said, sure. At that stage, it was end of financial year, and I was able to reel off. I said, well, I know that you're absolutely stressed. You've got various departments that have got budget that they need to spend, otherwise they'll lose it. You've got all of this that needs to be done before the end of financial year. You've got multiple, you know, people calling you. It's extremely stressful for them, for you at this point in time. I stopped my sort of spiel, and there was like about six or seven of them. All of them just went, yes, because I was able to tell them their reality, and I knew. And so I said, and what we then do is we put on extra staff members. We've got freelancers to support you through that busy time. And it was sort of like that collective sigh of relief, because they knew that I understood their world. I knew the pains that they were going through, and I had a solution to provide for them. So this is how powerful it is when you know who your customer is, that you can find solutions to solve their problems. So that's what we try and do when we unpack and deep dive as part of our workshops.
As part of that workshop, Vanessa, I'm wondering about the concept of how age plays into ideal customers. So do the various generations have, obviously they're different. Do the various generations have key differences that make them able to be targeted more easily?
So this is where we try and be, not to say as specific as possible. I mean, if you have a wide variety of your age group, this is where you're going to run into problems, because you're going to have the things that are going to be for your 20-year-olds are not going to be the same problems that a 50-year-old are going to have. So when we talk about your ideal customer, it really is more of a narrower group. So it becomes your niching. So you're dealing potentially between your 30 to 35. Now, yes, there's 30 and 35. There's not really a lot that's going to be too drastic within that age group. So it is trying to be very specific. Now, when I mentioned with my avatar, which is one of my councils, now that there's varying age groups within those, but all of the problems that, you know, X council has, and we try and embody it into a person, because what that helps you do is when you're thinking of any of your marketing collateral or you're designing something, it's easier to put them in as like your imaginary friend, and you can solidify them, you can give them a name, and you can help to identify clearly with them. So if I say Mary is my avatar for this particular council, I can guarantee you all of the problems that Mary is having here is the same problems that John's going to have over here, regardless of whether they're male or female. That all of those attributes are going to be the same problems he's going to have as, you know, Bob down the road is going to have as part of the council. It's a persona. It's your ideal. It's like an imaginary friend. It's your ideal customer. So there'll be subtleties within each one, but it's sort of a where you can niche as much as possible and get really clear on that. Instead of having the really broad age group, that's where problems will occur, because it's two different messages. It's two different problems, two different issues. You might have a subset, and you might go, you know what, this is our overall ideal market, and we'll get that working really well. And then what we'll do is we'll probably target an offshoot. You might do a campaign specific to your 20-year-olds that is going to be a message that resonates with them. So that's what we sort of recommend.
So Vanessa, as part of that workshop, you're going to help those that participate find that ideal customer. And if they have a diverse customer base, then you'll help them discover different strategies for different groups. Yeah. Is that so my understanding?
Yeah, most definitely. So we actually, we always recommend, and this is where when we mention this to find your ideal customer, that is the exact question that comes up and says, but we deal with so many different target markets. And that's fine. As I said, I have multiple avatars. I don't just have the one, but where we start off with is we look at the most, well, I guess the lucrative one at this point in time to get you the sales, to get you the revenue, so that you can enjoy working with these clients. You don't want to be working with clients you don't enjoy. You know, that they value your services, that they're going to pay you what you deserve, they get, you know, all of your premium bundles. They are the best scenario. So what we do is get that working and build that sort of master one, and then concentrate on your next one and your next one. We did this, one of our clients has actually got four. So we actually did do, we profiled each of his four avatars, because they are, because he's in the financial managed services. So, you know, he's got first time buyers, and then he's got staff managed super funds. So he's very diverse. So we profiled each of his segments, and then for them, whenever he went to market on self-managed super funds, he pulled out that avatar's profile and did a campaign specific to that. So you can have multiple, but we always regard, you know, always get you to focus on one and then build on that.
So Vanessa, when you've discovered what your ideal customer is, do you then develop a story around them? Is that my correct understanding? So you know what they like, where they go to eat, how they shop, what their buying patterns are. And my other question around that, are there some generics around certain avatars, or are they all different depending on a business?
No, most often than not, the three main things that keep people up at night are lack of money, lack of time, and sort of, you know, things that are out of their control. So it's all usually staff is the third one.
Yes.
So most often than not, those are the three things that sort of keep people up, and it will vary, but it'll be the attributes of the client or the ideal target market that will be different. But yes, in terms of to answer your first one, as part of that, we then have another offshoot where we then start to develop messaging for the target market. So we know, okay, well, you're right. This is where they are. This is what they like. This is what keeps them up at night. This is, you know, things that their aspirations, this is where they want to, you know, head into the future. Then you sort of go, okay, so now that we know X, Y, Z, you then produce a series of messages to attract those type of customers or solve the problem for your customers. And then that gets put onto your social media, your websites, your brochure work, anywhere you come in contact with your customer, that's the message you send to the market.
So these wonderful workshops that you've created, obviously you've moved them online. And how long does the workshop go for, Vanessa?
Yeah, so the customer DNA or the avatar workshop, that's a 3-hour workshop. So what that does is we
ask just a lot, 3 hours.
Just 3 hours. We ask a lot of questions. By the end of it, your head might be a bit smashed. But what we also find is that there are going to be some questions you just can't answer because you either have not had a conversation around that. So what we do, and it's a value add that we offer, we produce a sort of like, I guess it's like a survey series of questions that you can then send on to, you know, 5 or 6 of those ideal customers that you'll already have within your business to find out that extra information.
Yes.
As I said, this document that we then give you a document and a write-up and a report of everything that we've discussed. And what that, and as I said, it's a live document because when things change with your customer, update your information about them. Like the situation we're in now, your customer's going to have a completely different set of pain points or a set of circumstances that are different from 6 months ago, from the beginning of the year. So how can you alleviate their problems? You know, is it a quick, hey, I've been thinking about you, how are you going, you know? And then say, is this, you know, is this keeping you up at night, or is this a problem for you? You know, yeah. Well, we've developed XYZ that, you know, I was thinking about you and this might be of interest to you. So it's keeping them at the forefront of your mind and sort of really understanding what's going on in their world. And that's why we say, you know, every year have a review of it. So you go, is it still relevant? Is it still, you know, you might find your business has changed and that target market needs to change as well. Yes. You might find you actually want to move with that target market to the next age bracket, you know. You might say, yes, I love them so much. I want to be on that journey with them. You know, they're 30 to 35 now. I want to help them when they're in the 40 to 45 bracket as well. So that all, it all comes part of a sort of a brand review every year that we recommend.
Yeah. And Vanessa, are you finding that previous businesses had a certain customer that bought as a face-to-face customer? Are you finding lots of businesses are needing to work out what an online customer looks like?
That's definitely, and I think it sort of also goes back to, we've got definitely one of our clients who actually struggled with that transition because she was very much face-to-face. And the fact of, and she's a little bit older, so technology is not really something, like she's not had a website
friendly
for years. So for her to go into this online space is really proving challenging for her. So it's getting them, as I said, it comes down to, you know, part of, you know, my brand personality is what we call a carer archetype. So that really comes to the foreground when it's like, okay, how can we help you? We put them in contact with, you know, we know good hosting people, we know good people who can help with SEO, but we try and help them out wherever they're stuck, and they really value the, you know, the input we give them. So it's sort of like, okay, I trust you because that's the relationship we've built with them. So then they'll use our preferred supplier, they'll use, you know, so the transition for them is really easy. But yeah, they're finding it scary. And so our role as a, you know, as Synced is to really help them through that.
Yeah. So this year, that obvious focus because of what we've all been through has been to get businesses online. Have habits changed for customers looking for products, services, etc. online? Has it changed? Obviously, there's more people online, and obviously they're looking for online solutions. Have you seen a change in their habits? So,
most definitely. So, obviously, a change has been that they're more on Facebook, or they're more on the socials. So they're needing for all of that. They're more, obviously, they're building shopping carts, or they're creating podcasts or webinars and stuff like that, which was different quite a few years ago. But what's really come to the foreground, and where we also support our clients, is programs like Canva have really come to it. So it's, I'm not sure if you get it in the States, but it's a platform where you can create your own really quite lovely social media graphics. And what that does is given our clients the ability to get quick designs up and out. So what we've done is we know that that's what our clients, where they're playing in. But we also know Canva can be quite challenging. There's amazing products out there, but, you know, spending your time to find what's right and what's appropriate for you, and, you know, is it in your brand of colours? How do you put your brand of colours in there? Where should I use this logo? When should I use that logo? So what we've done is we've developed a number of bundles for our clients to know that this is a program that you use. We can help you with that. We set up a whole series of templates for them that it's all in their branded colors, it's all in their fonts and their logos.
Yes.
And they don't have to think. We send that off to them and then they go, oh, I like that one, I like that one, I like that one. And everything is on brand. So this is us pivoting, knowing that, well, ordinarily we would design it using our design programs, but our clients are on Canva. So we can either go, oh, I don't want to be part of that, or we can actually help our clients navigate the circumstances that they find themselves in.
And what about, I've got some questions about social media and visual branding, but before we get into that, have your customers and businesses struggled with maintaining that online presence on social media?
So this is, again, why we help customers with a Canva bundle, because that's what you said is absolutely perfect, that because everyone's sort of rushing to get onto social media because this is where we need to be because everything's now online, we're not meeting up face-to-face.
Yes.
They're not, and because they're not designers and they don't understand
yes.
that, you know, your brand needs to have consistency when they produce stuff.
It does.
You know, I know a beautiful friend of mine, her logo is blue and black. And when she puts her creative stuff out there, it'll be one blue on one instance. There'll be another blue in another instance. There are no consistent elements. So slowly what she's doing is she's eroding her brand, her branding. So it's sort of, it at a subtle level, it breaks trust. Whereas, again, so this is where we go, I know you want to jump into social media and that's great. Except if you sort of take a bit of a step back, you've got to remember who you are, what you want to get to the message, who you're talking to. And we can help you, as I said, with these Canva bundles so that when you do go to market on your social media platform, everything looks consistent. So that way you're not showing up one way or one colour in this instant and another way and a different colour in that instant. So we give you a palette to play with.
And it's about sticking to those colours and loving them and using them without fail, and not using a blue that's a bit darker because it looks prettier, but sticking to those brand colours. And the psychology behind that is that people get to know and understand that synced is always in white and red. Is that correct, Vanessa?
And the brown. That's correct, yes. So when
there is brown.
Yeah, so these are my branded colours. So, yes, all of my social media posts that I put, especially on Instagram, they'll have my red and my white logo or my other sort of elements. So I just want you to sort of think back to, if you think of Tiffany, the brand Tiffany,
yes.
what colour comes yes. to mind for you?
Tiffany blue.
Right, so they have patent and they guard their blue with such passion.
Don't they?
They do, because it's part of their branding. They have made an association with that colour, and if you get it wrong, God help you. It's sort of like they have brand ambassadors that will make sure that the colour is right, because what it is if you change that colour, you break trust. And I know, that, I mean, we're talking about Tiffany, because if you get a slightly off blue box and you go, oh,
you're going to know.
You're going to know. Or is it a knockoff? So you, in that split second, your brain has gone, oh my God, I don't know if I've got a true Tiffany or it's something else. So this is why being consistent and loving your colours, and don't change it just because you feel like, I want to wear blue today. Fine. You want to wear blue, but don't change your colours because you feel like there's a whim. I found it recently, and apparently it's now part of it. I wasn't aware of it, part of a bigger brand strategy, but I received an advert from Dropbox because I use Dropbox as part of my business. Now, to me, Dropbox is blue and white. And I saw an
ad. They are.
Yes. And I saw an ad that came through that was green and yellow. And my brain just went, ooh, that's not right. Now, I think they've done a whole rebrand and they've got a number of different colours, but my initial reaction was, has that been hacked or what's going on? I don't feel safe, because it's like, I know that Dropbox is blue and white. So it's really interesting how people's choices of colours, if they just want to change it on a whim, can actually be detrimental to your business.
Yeah. When you put it in terms of the bigger branding, bigger companies and their particular branding colours, you start to understand that importance. If you want to grow your brand, how important it is to think about those colours and work out what colours are going to resonate. It should be a conscious discussion and decision versus let's just pick this, shouldn't it?
And that's right. And that's why we always encourage our clients to have a style guide. And that's where you put your rules in place. And it's not to be sort of very stringent and that you can't do anything else, but especially when it comes to your colours, yes, you do need to adhere to them. And there's a reason for that. And it's not just because you don't want to be nice and allow people to change your logo to pink if it's a purple one. It's because you need to show up consistent, and that's the brand that you're producing. And as I said, if Tiffany changed their blue to baby blue, people will notice. And I know it's only subtle, but they will notice.
I will.
Right, so that's where I know we don't have the budget of Tiffany, but it's the same psychology.
No.
It's the same mentality. Keep it consistent.
But people and businesses can create that same effect very simply with tools like Canva and et cetera, and still have the same impact, still be known for that branding and colour scheme, and understand why it's important. So now that we've gotten to talk about colour quite substantially, I wanted to digress just a little bit into social media and visual branding.
So anything in particular?
Well, in particular, I wanted people to understand the importance of that visual branding on social media.
Yeah. So with the different sizes that everyone, you know, all of your different platforms are, you need to be really mindful of how your brand is showing up, whether it's, you know, Instagram, which is a square, your Facebook is rectangle, you know, all your different mediums, there is a different way you need to show up because of the restrictions of the platform. But this is where if you have that style guide and you make sure that your brand is appearing the way it needs to, the colours, the fonts. We've rebranded a beautiful company that before they worked with us, we just did a quick scan of how they were appearing. And they pulled their logo apart quite badly and they use it for their profile. They were changing their fonts in one instant, and then they used a different font in another instance. The colours were wrong. They didn't even show up anywhere the same way. So this is how you can very quickly erode your brand. But you need to make sure that at every point, we call it a touch point, and this is very, very prevalent with social media because it's so easy to change, but at every time your customer comes in contact with you, if it's your LinkedIn profile, if it's your Instagram feed, if it's your Pinterest, you know, all the things that matter to you needs to have that flavor of your business. So all of it needs to be consistent depending on what you can do within that parameter. So if your colors are red and brown, make sure you've got red in your color palette as part of your design. So that's what happens with all the sync stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about too is the importance of photographs in terms of branding, social media, and the way that your company shows up online.
Yeah. So this is what we've worked with when it comes to sort of especially your About Us product. When it comes to promoting yourself, and it's usually about Us. Last week we mentioned about what we call archetypes, and this is the personality of your business. So we worked with a photographer who was able to capture three of one of our clients' personality types. So whenever he then did a piece of marketing collateral, if he went on social media and he was advocating, so he's a family lawyer, and he's also he likes to do sort of the mediation behind the scenes, so that way you don't have to go to court. But if he did have to go to court, he got your back. And as part of his personality, he came up what we call a ruler. So when our photographer took photos of him, she needed to capture that ruler essence. And she did. She captured him beautifully. So when he then needs to do a promotion, you know, if he's doing a piece of marketing collateral that says, you know, we can do the mediation, but I've got all of these years of experience. I'm a barrister and, you know, I've got your back and we can go to court. And, you know, this is why you need to use our services. You put the ruler archetype photograph into your social media channels. So that's how you would represent your personal brand. But what we also do is we try and create a library of images, because obviously sometimes we can't, and now we can't really go and get stuff photographed. So we use a lot of stock photography. And then what that also does, it needs to capture the theme and the mood and the tone of your business. So we will either choose photography that actually does that. So, you know, if you're part of your, as I said, we use our client who was the family lawyer, you know, we need to make sure that he shows up. Not only does he care about his customers, because that's part of one of his archetypes, we need to show in the photography that he cares. And it may not be him, but, you know, it's got to show people in there. It's got to show that, you know, that there's their support. There might be hands in there. There's a number of different, you know, styles of things you can do. But what you need to do is establish it's a flavour of your business.
Yes.
Sometimes you can even go down to, we did this for one of our clients. Their branding was blue and black, ironic, another one.
Yes.
But every photograph we had actually had a blue theme through it. So every time they showed up on their collateral, there was a blue of their branding had appeared in their graphics, in their photographs, in their infographic elements. So we brought sort of a flavour because the photographs could be coming from different photographers. So one way to tie that all together is to introduce a colour narrative. So that's what we did for them, and they've got like 80 photographs that they can just swap and change depending on the need of their campaigns.
Yes, yes. Fascinating, Vanessa. So all of this information is what you guys cover in your avatar workshop. And before we run out of time today, I just want you to tell our listeners where they can jump on and find all about your workshop and the link to the website so that they can jump on and do the workshop with you. If you're going to do, now is the time to get some of this workshop stuff done. If we're locked down and a little bit slower because of the circumstances around COVID, then this is the time you should be doing that workshop work and getting very clear on your branding and who your ideal customer is. So, Vanessa, let's tell the listeners where they can find these workshops.
So if you go to synkd.com.au, so synkd.com.au, we have our services, and there's a link to our avatar workshop, and that explains all the things that we do, and we've got some customer testimonials in there as well, and you can see, you know, us work doing our magic. There's some photographs there, so if you want to know
online.
So if you want to know a little bit more, that's where you go. But I do have an offer for your listeners today. Normally it's a $1,500 program, but because of COVID and helping people to want to jump on board, we've actually got a special for your listeners for $900. So you can actually get that through synkd.com.au/offers. So that there's a link, there's a little bit of information, and there's a link that you can go straight there and you can purchase and connect, and then we'll establish a time and work through and find out your avatar for you, which is very exciting.
And so this is a really special offer for people this time, and that's Australian dollars for our American listeners. Even our rest of the world listeners, that's an Australian, 900 Australian dollars. So if you're in America, that is bargain price for you to do that work and get it happening. Again, if you're going to do this work, now's the time, and get set and get it sorted before 2021. So Vanessa can be found on synkd.com.au/offers if you want to find out how to deep dive into your perfect customer for your business and get your business pumping with targeted marketing and knowledge about who you want to sell to and why and what their pain points are. And also on Vanessa's website, synkd.com.au, you'll also find events. So if she's got some events coming up, and she loves to do webinars which discuss so much more than what we've covered in the program today, we've only just touched the surface talking about your ideal client, what they look like, what they're looking for, the colours and psychology around the branding and targeting of your ideal customer. But Vanessa and the team have so much more to give and so many more services. So next week, we're actually going to be deep diving into marketing and why it's important that you get a professional team behind you. If you're you're a new business, if you're starting a new business, if you're starting anything new and you haven't got a marketing team behind you, you are going to be behind the eight ball before you begin. Again, now's the time in 2020 when you've got time to listen and understand some of the concepts that will be important to your business going forward in 2020. And I really encourage you to jump on with the team, Vanessa's team at Synced, and help get your business pumping along quickly. So this is just about it for our show this week. Vanessa, thank you so much for sharing those tips, tricks, and information about color psychology and your ideal client. Listeners, don't forget, jump on that website, synykd.com.au/offers or /events, and you'll find all of Vanessa's. There's lots of stuff on that website. I've been on there I don't know how many times, and every time I go on, I find something powerful, interesting, and fabulously usable for my business. So, Vanessa, thank you so much for being on Radio Tony Everyday Business this week and talking about the wonder of finding your ideal customer. And again, I encourage everyone to jump on and take advantage of this offer that Vanessa's got to find your ideal customer and develop your own business avatar. We will be back next week, the same time, and we'll be deep diving into marketing and why your business should have a marketing team behind you. Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Thank you, Tony. It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Radio Tony Everyday Business this week with CEO Vanessa Thomas from Synced. Let Synced take your business to the next level with beautiful designs and commercially driven visual solutions. Jump on the website Synced, synkd.com.au. That again is synkd.com.au. And join us next week for more branding goodness. Bye for now.